Welcome. This is Benefit from the Bible, the preaching and teaching ministry of Bethlehem Lutheran Church. May God enable you to rightly understand and eternally benefit. Dear friends in Jesus Christ, 116 years ago, way back in 1904, that was when a faithful group of Christians from St. Mark, Cleveland, came to Parma and established Bethlehem Lutheran Church here in Parma. Now, there was some work prior to that, but the first service began way back in 1904. Before we come to today's sermon text, what was going on back in 1904, a long time ago? Some interesting things. The Ford Model B and Model C were first produced back in 1904. The board game Monopoly, originally called the Landlord's Game, was patented back in 1904. Dr. Seuss, he was born in 1904. Cy Young pitched his perfect game, the first one in American League history, back in 1904, and the first subway train emerged from New York City Hall Station way back in 1904. And of course, we have the historic Bethlehem Lutheran Church established back in 1904, so quite a year, 1904. Well, here we are now in 2020, 116 years later, here at Bethlehem, and yet the good news is that by the grace of God, we still believe the Bible is God's holy word, and we still have that gift of faith alone by which we are trusting in Jesus as our Savior. Wow, great, great blessings that God has sustained over all those years. Thanks be to Him. Today we come to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, and I want to propose a question here before we get into it. Why is that chapter important and relevant to today? When we think about a chapter like that, that goes back about 1900 years ago. How could that be significant for us today? Well, the chapter helps us to be ready for the return of Jesus. This particular chapter reminds us that some, and maybe we could even say many in the world today, are deceived about the truth. The chapter also tells us about two very distinct groups. I'll talk about those more in the sermon. The chapter also reminds us about God's great love for us and the blessings that will be ours in eternity, not because we deserve them, but because of the great goodness of God to us in Jesus Christ. So a lot of important, relevant things in this chapter. Going on to the beginning here of the sermon then, as we get into the text itself, the Bible wants us to know that some people are ready. And I think that includes you and me. It also included the ones that Paul was writing to there in Thessalonica. Paul wrote to them, "Now as to the periods of time and the appointed times, fellow believers in Jesus, you have no need of anything to be written to you. For you yourselves know full well that the day of the Lord, that is the return of Jesus, will come just like a thief in the night." If we think back to those Thessalonian believers a long time ago, we could say they were on the ball. In other words, they were aware that Jesus would return like a thief in the night. What does that mean? That meant that they understood he would come at a time when most people in the world were not expecting him. What about us? I think we are just like the people in Thessalonica. We're in that category too. Even though we are aware that Jesus said, a long time ago, he said, "I am coming soon," even though he said that, we know that he definitely will come. We know he could come at any moment, and by God's grace, we are living in constant readiness. Having those three realities true about us, we are some of the most blessed people in the entire world. Now, other people might not see that about us, but we should know that is true when we look into the mirror of God's holy word. In the second part today, we come to the reality that some, and maybe even many, are deceived. We don't know anybody's heart, but it would seem that the world is pretty mixed up and in trouble today. St. Paul continued writing here in the letter, "While unbelievers are saying, 'Peace and safety,' then destruction will come upon them suddenly like labor pains upon a woman with child, and they will not escape." Imagine being in this kind of a situation. I think many in America are in this situation. But let's say, though, that you do not think anything about the Bible, you do not believe in Jesus, but you wake up one morning and it's a beautiful day. So you might even think to yourself, "Wow, what a great day. The sun is shining. I feel great. I have a good job. I have money in the bank. The crime rate is down. We're moving closer and closer to world peace. Everything seems fine." That would be a little bit like what the text said there. Somebody saying, "Peace, safety, everything is fine. Don't worry, just enjoy." Maybe because of COVID-19, there's a bit of a damper on such things. But still, there are many people, though, that just kind of think that everything is fine for them apart from Jesus, apart from the Bible. Not a good situation. Someday, for such people, all of a sudden, Jesus will be back. He will come like lightning. He will come in a flash, like in the twinkling of an eye. There will be no opportunity to repent, and they will be lost forever. God doesn't want that for anyone. God made us to be with him. He made everybody to be with him. He doesn't want anybody to be lost. But today is a day of salvation, because tomorrow could be too late. And then we come to two opposite groups here that Paul talks about. Picking up in verse 4 now and going through verse 8, he wrote, "But you, fellow believers, are not in darkness, that the day would overtake you like a thief, for you are all sons of light and sons of day." What does that mean, sons of light, sons of day? It means that they are walking in the light of God's word, and they are living in the light of God's Son. So that's talking about one particular group. And then he continues, "We are not of night nor of darkness. So let us not live in sin as others do, but let us be alert, watching, and sober, clear-headed. For those who sin do their sinning at night, and those who get drunk get drunk at night. But since we are of the day, let us be sober, having put on the breastplate of faith and love, and as a helmet, the hope of salvation." Why the breastplate? Why the helmet? Because the forces of evil are trying to pull us away from our Lord Jesus Christ. So God is saying, be fortified, be equipped, be ready, because there is a battle going on out there for the souls of all humanity. What I did here is try to come up with a couple different groups based on what Paul has written. So with the first group, they are the sons of light. So they're not only the sons of light, but they're also the daughters of light. And these are some key things that I believe characterize that group. Number one, they are believing in Jesus for eternal life. Not just believing in him in general, but for eternal life, for their entrance into heaven. Such people, what is true about them? They are trying, they are wanting, according to their new nature, to live in harmony with the Bible. They are watching for the return of their Lord Jesus Christ. They are trying to maintain clear thoughts, and they are trying to guard themselves against spiritual assaults. Those are all important qualities for all of us, for all who know Jesus. Those five things are essential in our daily lives. What about the other group? Well, basically the opposite. So the sons of darkness, we also have daughters of darkness, and with that group, they are not believing in Jesus for eternal life. So because that is true, because they are not believing in him for eternal life, all the other things follow. Therefore, they are not living in harmony with the Bible. They probably don't even know what it says. They are not watching for Jesus' return. They might not even know that Jesus is the Son of God. They are not maintaining clear thoughts. Maybe they are eating and drinking and being merry. And they are not guarding against spiritual assaults. And in a sense, they've already been assaulted spiritually. They've already been captured spiritually. So in a sense, we could say the forces of evil are leaving them alone because they've already won over them. So those are the two groups we're talking about. Is either group exactly what I just said? Are the Christians living perfect lives in all five of those ways? By no means. But let's know, though, those things are important. Let's think about them. Let's struggle with them. Let's ask God to help us with them each day. And then for the other people, are they bad people? Not necessarily. I mean, they are sinners just like we are. The problem is they don't know Jesus, and God wants them to know Jesus, but right now they don't. So we shouldn't put them down. It's not us to judge them, but rather we should be compassionate toward them. We should feel sorry for them. We should try however we can to get God's truth to them so that by the work of the Holy Spirit, they can be brought to saving faith in Jesus Christ. As I thought about this situation here, there's another related topic I want to mention here real briefly. So with many of the sons of darkness, we've gone basically from bad to worse in the world, and I want to explain what I mean by that. In other words, in the past, for the most part, sin was a shameful thing. So people tried to hide their sin. Even Jesus said in John 3, he said, "Everyone who does evil hates the light and does not come to the light for fear that his deeds will be exposed." If you think back decades ago on various topics, you'll understand what I'm talking about here. But let me give you a couple examples about today. So it's no longer a secret when a couple has a baby and yet they're not married. Oftentimes that will happen with a couple, and they'll post pictures on Facebook of the baby they had. Would that have ever happened decades ago? No way. That was a shameful thing, and they were trying to keep it undercover until finally the couple got married, and then they would, you know, make known their happy occasion. It's different today, though. Or what about people who are homosexuals? Now, we have to be careful now. We don't want to make a huge deal about homosexuality. Is that sin? The Bible is very clear on that. But are there many other things that are sins that are part of our lives? Yes, that's true. So we're not trying to say, oh, that's the end all sin by any means. But isn't it shocking, though, that we used to think decades ago how if someone was that way, they were kind of in the closet. But now they've gone from coming out of the closet to hosting major parades around our nation every year. So there is no shame in that anymore. I think that's a really serious matter. It's bad enough when you have sin, but when you know it is sin and you're being convicted of that, then you try to keep it hidden. But when you've come out now and there's no more shame, that means that our nation has taken some serious steps in the wrong direction. And maybe we could say even the entire world has. So again, I'm not trying to say anything bad against anybody because I know I'm a sinner too. I'm thankful that I know Jesus. I'm thankful that I have God's forgiveness. But how do we work that though with people who are sinning and not ashamed? It's like, where do you even begin with them? I guess we begin with them by meeting them where they are and trying to love them and care about them. And maybe by doing so, maybe they'll give us an opportunity to tell them why we're showing care for them, why we're showing love for them. And hopefully, eventually, they'll give us an opportunity that we can tell them about our great God and about how much he loved us in Jesus, and how no matter how great their sins are, there is full forgiveness in Jesus Christ. So everybody needs that truth. But sometimes people, maybe many times people, don't even know they need it. So we have to kindly and gently, when the opportunity arises, help them to know their need. That would be proclaiming the law. And that once the law has done its work, then we're ready to give them the gospel, to give them the good news of who Jesus is and what he has done. Finally, at the end here today, we are forever blessed through Jesus. St. Paul continues in the chapter in verse 9 with these words, "For God has not appointed us for wrath, but for obtaining salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, so that whether we are physically alive when he comes or physically dead when he comes, we will live together with him. Therefore, encourage one another and build up one another, just as you also are doing." Let's be honest, when we think about our own sins, we are all deserving the wrath of God. That's exactly what the Bible teaches. But what has God done, though? Amazingly, God has chosen us. God has made us his very own through his Son and through the finished work of Jesus. Therefore, what does that mean for us now? Through Jesus, we are ready to die. Through Jesus, we are ready for him to return whenever the appointed time comes. Let us know those things are so important. Let us know they are true for us, and let us greatly rejoice. I'm hoping that these are some ways that we will respond to the sermon today. It's important that we look into the mirror of God's word. So when we open it, it's like a mirror, because God is showing us not what our face looks like, he's showing us what is in our mind and what is in our heart. So it's important to read it, to think about it, and let the Spirit of God do his work. And then God will also show us, when we know Jesus, God will show us that we are in the Jesus group. And when he shows that to us, impresses that upon us, that is great, great reason for rejoicing. And then finally, may God help us to take action toward those who are the sons and daughters of darkness. Not to judge them, not to condemn them, but to care about them, to love them, and however we can to share God's truth with them, because we know, as Jesus said, it is the truth that sets us free. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we are blessed now and forever through Jesus. Thank you so very much. Now, as we live each day, we pray that you would keep us close to you and that you would use us to point others to Jesus. In his holy name we pray. Amen. Thanks for listening. If you have a Bible question, contact me, Robert Green, through our website, BethlehemLutheranChurchParma.com. If you are searching for a church home, see our website and attend with us. Now, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all.